This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart, live from the WNYC studios in Soho. Thank you for spending part of your day with us, whether you're listening on the radio right now or you're live streaming somewhere or you're listening on demand later. I'm grateful you're here. On today's show, we'll talk about a new exhibit at the Bronx Museum featuring the work of Bronx photographer Daryl Ellis. We'll discuss a new exhibit at the Brooklyn Museum that views Pablo Picasso in a decidedly modern context. And we'll finish our conversation on women in art history with author Katie Hessel. That is our plan. So let's get this started with Nick Muhammad, a.k.a. Mr. Swallow. Fresh off the finale of Ted Lasso this week, actor Nick Muhammad will bring a different character to the stage tonight in New York City by the name of Mr. Swallow. And while he's not a football strategy mastermind like his Lasso character, the Wonder Kid Nate Shelley, this character, Mr. Swallow, has his own talents. He is a master of memory and math. Or at least he thinks he is. Nick Muhammad has described Mr. Swallow as, quote, a northern bombastic, clueless megalomaniac. The show was first developed more than a decade ago as part of a fringe festival act, and since then he's toured the UK as Mr. Swallow and brought the character to British talk shows and variety specials. And tonight is the first time he'll perform for an American audience. The show mixes stand-up comedy, music, math, magic, and more. It may or may not feature Nick on roller skates. That's always possible. Nick Muhammad is Mr. Swallow, will be at the Town Hall tonight at 7:30 p.m., and he joins us now. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Allison. Thank you for that summary of Mr. Swallow. That's brilliant.
We have more to discuss about Mr. Swallow, but first we have to discuss that this is your first trip to New York City.
Oh, God, it's embarrassing to say that, isn't it? But it is, yeah. And I absolutely adore New York. I knew I'd love it before I even got here because everyone said that I would love it. And honestly, it's lived up to its reputation. Obviously, you know, it helps that the sun is shining. And but yeah, it's just wonderful. I'm just so sorry that I'm only here for so little time. I arrived on Wednesday evening and I fly back to the UK tomorrow morning. But yeah, what a treat.
I understand, though, you had the quintessential experience of your luggage got lost. Did you lose?
And I still haven't. It's apparently in Heathrow Airport still. So I'll be able to pick up on my way back.
Your luggage is still at Heathrow?
Yeah. So when I flew to LA because we were obviously doing some Ted Lasso publicity, and like it was so kind, like all the Lasso cast like had to sort of scrabble together to try and like get me some clothes and toothbrush and things like that. So the thing is, I'm quite an odd size because I'm quite small. And so, you know, a lot of those Lasso people are very tall. But you know, I popped out to the shops and got a few bits and pieces. But yeah.
Last traveling question. Is there something that now that you've been to New York, you're gonna make sure you do next time you come?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I've not. What do you call the underground, the subway? Mm-hmm. I've not been on the subway yet. I haven't. I've just sort of decided to walk everywhere because it was such nice weather. But I feel like I should experience the subway and kind of venture a little bit further out from where I are.
All right.
So that's my plan for next time.
Next time. Tonight you'll be at Town Hall, this one-man show. Nick Muhammad is Mr. Swallow. As I said, you've described him as a northern bombastic, clueless megalomaniac. You seem like a very nice fellow. Where did this fellow come from, Mr. Swallow?
So this guy came from... So genuinely, Mr. Swallow started off as an impression of a teacher that I had at high school, you know, honestly, like, you know, 25, 30 years ago, whatever. So honestly, the character sort of lived with me for ages, and it was a teacher who taught English, and she kind of sort of spoke like this all the time and just would have a go at us and just sort of, it was relentless, just talked and talked and talked like that, sort of at us. And then when I started doing... when I went to university and I started getting involved in doing kind of comedy sketches and comedy characters and stuff, I started using this voice I found that personally it sort of made things about 10% funnier. So I sort of slowly but surely, every time I went and did like live gigs and live comedy circuit and shows at the Edinburgh Festival, I kind of used this character more and more until back in, 2010, 2012, I just decided to do a whole show with that character. And and you could sort of tell that some people were like, oh, good. You know, is he going to keep up with that for the whole hour? But yeah, and then it became its own thing. And yeah, you know, like you said earlier, I've sort of toured the UK with it and do it on telly in the UK and stuff. But yeah, I'm excited to find out what American audiences and New York audience are going to make of it. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
How has the character evolved from that first sort of go around, like, maybe let's see if anybody likes this, to what you've honed it to now?
Yeah, well, I feel like, you know, the character is sort of an outlet for me to do things that I probably wouldn't, you know. I'm a big magic fan. I really like doing maths and like memory stunts and sort of those kinds of things and singing. But it always felt sort of funnier and more useful to sort of do it in the guise of the character as part of a comedy show. And so I guess those things have sort of crept in slowly but surely over the last few years. And now, like, he's sort of got his own backstory now, because I have been sort of gigging as that character for such a long time. It feels like he has got like a history that he can also talk about. And it just sort of makes him a little bit more three-dimensional and a bit more believable, even though he's outrageous in terms of his persona. I think if you ever met someone like that, you probably sort of vote to have them sectioned or something. Like, he's absolutely crazy.
How do you find audiences react to a character like that? How have they? What is their take on him?
Well, I feel like, you know, fortunately, you know, touch wood, audiences have sort of taken him to their hearts, because I feel like as much as he can be, he's sort of got an irritating accent and he does talk 19 to the dozen and is easily distracted and, you know, a little bit of a, you know, a megalomaniac, as you say, he sort of likes the sound of his own voice. There's sort of just enough charm in there, and sort of a nudge and a wink to the audience that they know it's a character and that we're all kind of in on this joke together and having a bit of fun with it. And I like to think that everyone has sort of met their own version of Mr. Swallow to a degree, whether it's a family member or a colleague or someone they went to school with, or, you know, so I feel like there's enough of that to hopefully for the audience to kind of go on that journey. And because, you know, because I throw a lot of gimmicks at it, not least, you know, being on roller skates and doing the magic and using him bits and pieces like that, there's something in there for everyone. And so he almost sort of forces you to go on that journey with him.
My guest is Nick Mohammed. The name of the show is Nick Mohammed is Mr. Swallow. It'll be at Town Hall tonight. So you mentioned these memory tricks. It's a big part of the show. And in one section, you lead a lesson on how to improve your memory. And there's another part of the show when you have to remember a whole deck of cards, each in order. How did you get into these memory tricks, or realize that you had a talent, an aptitude for memory tricks?
I kind of got into it around maybe 10 years ago. Like, I'd read quite a lot about it through doing sort of magic stuff, I guess. I'd sort of ended up learning about quite a lot of the sort of memory stunts or memory tricks that you can do, or little memory techniques that can kind of help. And I guess with learning lines and things like that, I found it always quite useful. And then I just got quite fascinated by it. And yeah, I mean, the technique for memorizing cards, I mean, and all these things, I solve a Rubik's Cube in the show as well. But all this stuff is available. It's sort of all in the public domain and you can just teach yourself. And it's just about really putting in the practice. And I remember particularly learning how to do the cards. I was in a play about 10 years ago, maybe even more. And I only had a very small part in it. So for the most part, I was just sort of backstage and would pop on at the start and then towards the end. And so I thought, well, I've got to try and do something with my sort of time when I'm off stage, just to sort of make it feel productive and worthwhile. So I learned how to memorize deck of cards there. That was sort of like a starting point for it. And when I started gigging with it, and often I would use it to sort of close my set, it would sometimes take me like a lot longer than it does now. Like, fortunately now there's like a rhythm to it, but I remember thinking, oh, I don't know if it's worth it, because people are really starting to flag and starting to worry that I might not be able to do it. But now it doesn't take as long as that, and there's a sort of a natural inbuilt rhythm to it. But then on saying that, it's different every night, and it slightly depends on, you know, how focused I am. But, you know, hopefully most of the time it's been working fine on the tour, so fingers crossed for tonight.
How is your memory in your real life, your offstage life?
It's not bad. I'll tell you what, my eldest son, Finn, he's got a proper, I never know how to pronounce it right. I think it's eidetic or eidetic memory, which is sort of a photographic memory, really. And he's properly got it, and he can, you know, we can show him something and he can recall it. And so I'm sort of thinking how I can involve him in some kind of like double act kind of way. But he's probably a bit too young. But no, my memory in real life is all right. But again, it's about focus, I think. You know, I can sometimes be a bit lazy with it.
We mentioned math tricks, card tricks. If you describe this to somebody, what DNA does your show share with the kind of illusionist shows that people normally think of someone who says, hey, I do magic tricks?
Oh, well, you know what? It's chiefly a comedy show still. And, you know, mm-hmm. there's the magic-y sort of elements to it. But I would say, you know, the comedy is always front and center. So I guess with some shows which are magic shows or mentalism, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of all about the tricks. Whereas I feel like with this Mr. Swallow show, it's sort of about him and his persona. And, you know, the tricks, they're not an afterthought because they are proper sections of the show. And, you know, when they hit, they hit. But I guess they're not as front and center as if, you know, you were going to see a magical mentalism show. I think there's the jokes sort of outweigh the tricks.
My guest is Nick Mohammed. Tonight he'll be at Town Hall with Nick Mohammed is Mr. Swallow. After a quick break, we'll talk to Nick about singing lyrics to the Jurassic Park theme song, as well as playing his childhood violin. Stay with us. You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. My guest is Nick Mohammed. He is in town tonight to be at Town Hall with his show, Nick Mohammed is Mr. Swallow. It's a character that he has been portraying for the better part of a decade. There are math tricks, there are memory tricks, and Nick, there's music in the show. In one bit, you play a conductor. In another, you sing lyrics to the Jurassic Park theme song. You also have the audience sing a chord together. In your mind, yes. What is Mr. Swallow's musical background?
Oh, well, I feel like he feels like he's a bit of a, you know, he's certainly kind of a wannabe musical theatre star. And so he definitely has, I guess, slight delusions of grandeur as to kind of where he might be headed on that front. But he likes to absolutely demonstrate his what he would call musical prowess by doing those very things that you say. So he's written, lyrics to the main theme from Jurassic Park that summarize the plot. That's always a fun thing to do and try and get the audience to join in. He plays the piano at one point. I think we're very lucky that at the Town Hall there's a beautiful Steinway, which we usually just use a keyboard in the UK. So that'll feel very special to use a proper Steinway. And and then there's a point in the show, which is actually not a Mr. Swallow character. This is sort of after the Mr. Swallow bit has ended, I sort of pop on almost as me and then do this sketch where I play a conductor who sort of conducts the audience, but there's various sort of sound effects that kind of get played in over that. And that's actually based on something, because I used to conduct at university, one of the orchestras there, and that sort of was inspired by my time conducting that orchestra.
Yeah, let's turn to your musical background. I think everyone sort of gasped in admiration in Ted Lasso when you picked up your character picks up a violin and plays it, and that is you playing it. And I understand it was actually your childhood violin.
It is indeed, yeah. Sorry, I just had a big mouthful of an inside of a croissant. Sorry about that.
Yes, was it delicious?
absolutely gorgeous. Yes, it was my childhood violin. And so it felt really special to do that. Not least because of, you know, the parallel with the story in the show, but also my wife, Becca, who I met through playing in orchestra at the university as well. She was playing the piano accompaniment to the piece that I was playing on the violin. So, and they used that, we recorded it in a studio, and they used that for the show. And so I was kind of playing over the top of it when we actually filmed the stuff. But yeah, it is both of us playing, me on violin and Becca on piano. So it was a real treat knowing that was the case as well.
That was such a moment in the show and Ted Lasso when we start to understand that Nate has been separated from one of his real joys, one of his true loves, music. And it's part of this incredible story arc for that character. When you first signed on to Ted Lasso, did you have the sense of this character, this arc that he was going to have as sort of the underdog, and then he becomes the series villain, and then he takes a turn towards redemption?
Yes, I did actually. They were very, I was really lucky that the writers and, you know, Jason in particular had sort of taken me to one side. I think we were filming like episode 4 of season 1. And so really early on in the filming process, and I don't think seasons 2 and 3 had even been picked up by that point. But he did say, look, if we do go again, just so you know, because we are going to start to plant seeds for this along the way, You know, and very much outlined in broad terms the kind of the decline of Nate that we see in season two to the ultimate betrayal, where he leaves Richmond and goes to West Ham, and then ultimately the redemption of in season three. And so in broad terms, you know, there were specifics obviously that I didn't know. And actually, even though I didn't know specifically about the violin then, but as soon as Jason learned that I played the violin, he was keen to kind of put that in somewhere. So so I did broadly know what was going to happen. It was just a joy to play, really, because it's not often that in a supporting role as well that you get to kind of go on such an extreme journey. So I was really grateful for that.
Obviously, Nate is this mastermind, the strategy mastermind in soccer. You're not as much of a soccer fan, from what I understand.
No, no.
Tell us
no,
a little
no,
bit.
I would say that I'm not very into most sports. And so the irony of Nate being this sort of tactical whiz kid was kind of lost on me.
What kind of research did you do?
Well, I did as much as I could. But the good thing was, you know, there's so many of that cast, and especially Brendan, actually, who plays Coach Beard, they're such kind of football nuts, and you know, they're so into their sport and soccer, their football, and you know, all the players are obviously brilliant, and not just brilliant players, but really into their football. So I couldn't help but be kind of infected by their enthusiasm for it, but also just, you know, they were always on hand if I had kind of questions to ask, because there were honestly some bits of the script where Nate's talking about tactics or some kind of gameplay, and I had no idea whether the words were nouns or verbs or how to really use them in the right context. So I just have to pick their brains all the time just to make sure that it sounded authentic.
Well, speaking of athletics, let's swing it back to Mr. Swallow. He has a Twitter account, and the bio describes him as, quote, famous athlete. Part of athletics fall into Mr. Swallow's oeuvre, shall we say?
Well, I did. Well, that, God, I should probably update that. That comes from, I used to do a bit in the show where I did like a series of like kind of gymnastic, like cartwheels and things like that, because I used to do gymnastics as a kid. Ah. And so I put them into the show. They're not actually in this show because I'm on roller skates and I didn't dare do any of the flips whilst on roller skates because I'd probably kill myself. Also, him saying he's a famous athlete is absolute nonsense. I mean, that's sort of why it's there, I guess, as well. But yeah, maybe I should update that.
I don't want to let that just slide that you said, because I'm on roller skates. You're on roller skates.
Yeah, I'm on roller skates for the whole thing. There's something about the character, because he is so frenetic and he sort of bands between all these various topics and things that he's good and bad at. I felt like, you know, I knew the material well. And then I remember saying to a director friend of mine, Matt Lipsey, actually, who was the supervising director on Ted Lasso, but who'd also directed Intelligence. I said to him, I said, I'm thinking of putting it on roller skates. And he was like, why? Why would you do that? But there is just something about the almost slight unpredictability of me being on skates that seems to add to the sort of the frenetic nature of the character. It's been an absolute blast doing it on skates, I've got to admit. I mean, the only issues are sometimes when the stage is raked so that it, you know, if it slopes down to the audience, like some of the venues I've been playing do have that. And all the only way to counteract it is to literally just keep going around in circles.
That's a long night for you to keep going.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my thighs are like steel by the end.
You mentioned Intelligence. For people who don't know, the same year that Ted Lasso premiered, you created another show called Intelligence, co-stars David Schwimmer. You play two government intelligence agents. There were two seasons. We can stream it on Peacock here. What was it like to launch these two shows the same year, same time?
It was kind of mad, because it was sheer coincidence that was the case. You know, Intelligence is something I'd been working on for a while. And, you know, Ted Lasso was a casting that, you know, I happened to get that role. And, you know, we filmed it and they put it out when they put it out. And, you know, they happened to be very close proximity. And it's kind of crazy. It's sort of the way those things are sometimes, because you might film something and then there's a huge delay before it goes out, or it goes out almost immediately. But they happen to, you know, be more or less at the same time. And we've just done a special as well, which I think is now on Peacock. It definitely aired in the UK in over Easter. And maybe it's due to come out on Peacock quite soon. But we did like an hour long special of that as well. And we might do more as well. So that's exciting. But it's so fun working with David. But yeah, it's nice as well, because I obviously don't write on Ted Lasso. So it's quite nice going into Ted Lasso knowing that it's just an acting job and I can effectively be told what to do and what to say. And then with Intelligence, it's a bit more of a different discipline, because I'm across everything. more of a sort of showrunner capacity, I guess, but also as the writer, you know, it sort of has its own stresses, but also it has its own sort of rewards as a result of that, because you can be across it and sort of stretches different muscles.
One of our Cracker Jack producers is telling us the special is available on Peacock for people who are interested. My guest is Nick Mohammed. He'll be at Town Hall tonight. With Nick Mohammed is Mr. Swallow. So I'm curious, you know, you lived until recently in Richmond, where the show Ted Lasso takes place. How has life changed for you walking around the street at home?
Well, it was funny because we were living in Richmond since 2014, back when I moved there. And so we were there way before the show. But then it was funny because obviously once the show sort of took off, and it definitely took a little longer to take off in the UK than the States. But now it's, you know, firmly established. But it always looked like that, you know, if I was jogging over Richmond Green or kind of just hanging out in any of those places, it looked like I'd gone there deliberately. But I to sort of try and get recognized or spotted. But, you know, I was just there because, you know, we live there. But yeah, I mean, it's a strange thing to get used to. But yeah, I mean, you know, constantly recognized, and people want to talk about it and talk about Nate and the journey and just the show itself. And it's, you know, I just feel very lucky to be part of a show that has resonated with lots of people. But it's odd to say, but it has been life-changing to that extent. And we've moved from Richmond, but not far. We're like sort of 10, 15 minutes away now. But yeah, it's crazy. And you know, I just before I flew out, in fact, at the weekend, we were in Richmond because we were having lunch with some friends. And then we just decided, me and the kids and Becca, to walk along the river. And I realized that there was a walking tour, like there was someone who was leading a walking tour of all the kind of Ted Lasso sort of hotspots that you see in the show. And there was this huge group of people. And my wife was like, oh, you should go over. And I was like, oh, no, I can't. It'll be too embarrassing. And then my kids really, really landed me in it and like just started shouting. It's like, my dad's in Ted Lasso. So I went over and they honestly went absolutely wild. I mean, it was crazy. And then my wife, and it was a nice thing to do, obviously, because they were, I think, grateful for it. And then my wife likened it to, imagine if you kind of going on a walking holiday in the Austrian Alps and Julie Andrews turned up. And I said, that's absolutely mad.
I love that your kids outed you. Your kids were like, oh, Dad, no, you're going in.
They were desperate. They started shouting it right from the start. And it took a good 5-10 minutes for them to convince me to go over it, partly to just get them to be quiet. But...
So you have a couple other projects coming up. You are co-starring in a movie with John Hamm and Tina Fey, directed by John Slattery, called Maggie Moores. And actually, John Hamm and John Slattery are going to join us when it airs at the Tribeca Festival.
Great.
What should we ask them about the movie or anything when they show up?
Oh, it's great. It was a real hoot. I mean, it was, when did we film that? We filmed that in the autumn or the winter of not last year, the year before. So it's been, no, last year, sorry. We were in Albuquerque, which was brilliant and wonderful. It was just a really, really great experience. It's the first time I'd done a film like that, to be honest. And, you know, to get to work alongside them, I was just pinching myself, really. Yeah, we had an absolute blast. I mean, it was tricky being away from the family because I was away for like 6 weeks. But, oh, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of funny stuff that kind of happened while we were out there. I mean, it was quite a grueling shoot, actually, because it was quite a lot of night shoots and things like that. But no, we had a real laugh. And yeah, it was just nice to hang out with them. And, you know, obviously they're great, for, you know, Tina and John and John are, you know, obviously kind of good friends because there's a lot of crossover there. So yeah, it's just sort of nice to, you know, try and be one of their gang. But they were so kind and so nice. I was just starstruck for the most of it, really.
Nick Mohammed will be at Town Hall tonight. I would normally say break a leg, but you're on roller skates, so I'm not going to. I'm going to say have a good show. Nick Mohammed is Mr. Swallow at Town Hall tonight. Nick, thanks for making time.
Thank you so much for having me, Allison. Take care.